are now recording. This is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and Abe is, he's not caught up yet, but here we are in a new year. We did it. 2026, here we are. And Out Now is normally a film podcast where we discuss new movies weekly. However, every now and then, like for these special bonus episodes where we go to the upside down and talk about something like we never talked about before. In this case, we're talking about the Stranger Things season 5 finale. We've done the previous two batches of Stranger Things episodes because why not? And here we are with Stranger Things season 5, chapter 8, The Right Side Up. The final episode of Stranger Things until Netflix decides to do it again. And so here we are. Joining me to discuss this last episode of Stranger Things, we have from the Brandon Peters Show. He has an axe to grind. It's Brandon Peters.
All right. Let's do this for Stranger Things. We've been doing this podcast for how many years now? Been a long journey with all these episodes. Mm-hmm. And December 2025 is when we started. Oh, okay. Well, we've been doing it for 2 years technically now. So here's the Stranger Things pouring out.
Also joining us from We Live Entertainment sometimes. He's just cleared the blood out of his nose. He's ready to lend his powers to this podcast. It's Peter Paris.
Hey, hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. All right, guys. So what we've done so far is we've talked about the various episodes of season 5, and we've pretty, I think, overall, like, positive, despite having nits to pick and what have you. Is that a fair way to say it?
Yes.
Yeah, overall, yeah.
Compared to what I see a lot of online with a lot of a lot of crybabies and thoughts and drama queens in regards to like how they're handling the finale of Stranger Things, one of America's most important shows. I feel like we're pretty even keeled about how it's been going. So here we are. We watched the last episode on New Year's Eve before the ball dropped, because that's how things go. And just to clarify, where do we all watch this? Because it was in theater, in sold out theaters across the nation. Brandon, where did you watch Stranger Things, The Right Side Up?
In my basement with my children.
Nice. And Peter and I, we watched it together in his place.
With shout out to Scooter.
Shout out to our friend of the show, Scooter, who had
only watched a little of the show.
Yeah, he'd only seen the first couple episodes of the first season years ago. But fortunately, doesn't care, and two, I was able to do my best to catch him up on things on the drive over to Peter's place.
And oddly enough, he was crying the most.
I wish he was here. He's going to be on. He's going to be here in like an hour. I wish he heard that, because that'd be funny. But yeah, so that's how we watch Stranger Things. Brandon, were you ever going to try to watch it in theaters?
No. Nah, I mean, I heard about it, and then, like, yeah, it just wasn't something at the time my finances were going to let me do. My children would have probably liked that, but I was fine with watching it at home, honestly.
So Peter and I, we did want to try and see it in a theater initially, and then we just waited too long, even though it was, like, what, Sunday when we were checking the times or whatever, and it was like, oh, they're all sold out, like, everywhere. At first we were like, okay, the 5 to 6 o'clock range, that sold out. But then it was like, no, everything sold out everywhere. And the thing I didn't know is you're not – the way Netflix did it, which I guess kind of cool for not Netflix, you don't buy a ticket to Stranger Things.
What it was a food voucher.
You said you pay $20 and you get a food voucher, yeah. So you could like pick up concessions, $20 worth of concessions, and there's no actual money going to like Netflix in this scenario. It's going to like basically all to the theaters specifically.
And if I'm correct,
does that mean go ahead.
That could get you the number one combo at AMC, a large drink and popcorn, right? Or something
like that. Something. I mean, $20 is a good amount of money for some basic stuff. Yeah.
Wait. So does that mean we're not going to see the box office totals for Stranger Things?
Of course not.
It's estimated that it did $30 million in 2 days or something like that.
Something like that. It was certainly the most watched movie in America on that over Avatar, basically. So I mean, yes, Netflix doesn't have to report any money, nor would they. But as a way of negotiating how we can get some how they can get some screens in exchange for this, that, and the other, not the worst approach, I gotta say. And given what we saw, I'd argue, I didn't see it in theaters, but It was a pretty visually impressive episode to be like, oh, I could see this working really well with a crowd. So
yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't try to 3D it even.
Next time.
You know? Next time.
When the Legacy season comes out, they'll maximize their profit. When they own Warner Brothers, they'll maximize their profits in those years to come when they do that.
And they don't call it Stranger Things 6. They're going to call it The Stranger Things.
The Stranger It'll be all the episode titles with the in the beginning of it.
Stranger Things, Hawkins Reborn.
The disappearance of Will Myers.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into this. So far on our show where we are not well-researched in the lore of Stranger Things, and we're doing this on the fly of our pants.
Can we start with something? on that note,
yes,
that you gave. So there was a show that never finished that I did like from Drew McWeeny, Scott Weinberg, that was called The 80s All Over. So that's fitting. Whenever they made mistakes, they would start an episode. They called it, I think they call it Pulling a Boner. And they play Oops Upside Your Head. And I want to start with, I thought this season was taking place in 86, but apparently it's 87.
Uh-huh.
So I said that Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, would not have been out. It did come out in 87. However, she's watching it at home on her TV. The movie came out in February of 1987 and played through like May. Theatrical windows and stuff. I can't find any work. I can't find any record of the home video, but going by windows and stuff, it wouldn't have been on VHS for rental till late 87 at the earliest.
I would assume that.
However, many things seem to point that it was released in early 88 on VHS. Now, there's also, in that era, HBO and pay-per-view, which at their earliest would have been like late August, probably late fall. So they must have had to watch it like a week before the events of Stranger Things happened for that to occur. But it's possible, but I don't know.
Okay, so Brandon pulled a half boner. Got it.
Half boner, but I would like to say, I'll admit my mistake where I was calling it last week, but then doing some actual research like we haven't been doing for this show, I might still be correct. I'm probably still correct, but there you go.
All right. Well, point being, we're doing our best, and also, you know, we try to keep these pretty tight, but we'll see how long. This is only one episode, so surely this should be the shortest.
We do a lot of who's it, what's it, when's it, and that's it. Yeah.
Mr. What's it. Is
that's
what
his whole family.
Yes.
Mr. Who's it, what's it, that's yes. it. That's yes. it. They come to the reunion. All right. So
I will say it's funny that Brandon brings it up. The big thing that I always think of when I watch these kind of shows, and now, unfortunately, I can't think of an example, is it's always occurring to me, especially with teenager shows, when their vernacular is a certain way. I'm like, would they have talked that way?
Peter's a master of knowing every era of how people talked.
Right.
Well,
but
that is a thing, too.
But it is a thing where you're like if the character was like, seriously? I'm like, I don't think they really did that. They didn't do seriously. Like, who cares? I mean, I like the show, but that sticks out to me, kind of like with him saying, well, Dream Warriors wasn't out yet. It's like, for some reason, I'm like, did they say vernacular yet? Like, I can't think of an example, but I think in the finale, there actually is one. I want to think, I think it's Maya Hawke at the radio that says something near the end. But anyways,
we've established that Maya Hawke is a watcher, and she's a turtle, and that's the thing with her.
It's hilarious. I just got a comment on a Kate Bush video episode of mine that I did 4 years ago as we're recording this. How convenient.
Oh, someone ran up that YouTube page.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Before Stranger Things had.
So I think this time around, I'm going to use the Wikipedia synopsis as a way to guide us along through this episode.
All right.
Make notes as we go along. Something we probably should have done the entire time. But here we go. The right side up. Entering the upside down to begin Operation Beanstalk. Completely forgot it was called Operation Beanstalk.
Yeah.
Well, Operation Jackin didn't just sound right. So don't want to
think.
Mike, Will, Joyce, Dustin, Lucas, Steve, Robert, Nancy, and Jonathan climb the radio tower. That's so many people. To reach the descending abyss, while 11, Hopper, Murray, and Callie go to Hawkins' lab, where 11 enters a sensory deprivation tank. Okay. So many people in this episode. And the running thing that Peter and I had throughout most of this first part of it was, what's Joyce going to do? What's her deal with this?
What is her skill in the world of Dungeons and Dragons?
What's the thing she's offering
in
this? Is
she the bard? Like, what does she bring to the table?
She has an X.
Yeah, now,
she does.
Now, without jumping too far ahead.
Yes.
Well played show. I'll just say that. We were really
You're
cool.
Right.
Like, yes. There's a key shot where they just show her and they remind us that she's holding an axe the whole time. We're like, oh, that's what she's here for. But like before that, the whole time.
No, they have a lot of walking and talking, and Joyce is doing no.
She doesn't do much.
It's to the point where I'm like, does she have a body double? Because she is on the corner of scenes. Like, it's like if we can get away with not paying Winona Ryder this day, that's what we're going to do. Like, that's what it felt like. But I'm like, what? I'm like, why did they bring her? Like, what's she? What's the, like, when the time calls for it, what's she supposed to do again? Like, what's her ability?
I guess she's there to support Will.
That's the best, right?
It's a family operation. Both of her sons are on this, so.
Well, I mean, it was just like, it was awkward being, like, because, like, the other thing was, like, Max is back with just, like, the candy striper. And we're like, wait, that's, I mean, she seems pretty valuable. Like, we're just going to leave her with, like, one NPC, basically. Like, that's our guardian for her character.
Right, yeah. Like,
Joyce could hold an axe next to Max the whole time. I mean, that's beyond the rhyme. I mean, that's also just good things to do, too. So, anyway. So, we got a large team in the upside down, into the abyss. Sorry, they climbed into the descending abyss. And yeah, 11, Hopper, Murray, and Callie, they're in the lab. I love that Murray's part of that team, by the way. Like, all right.
And then there's Erica and the teacher. They're off at a church.
Erica and the teacher, they're just like, they got like one thing to do, which is stay in that tower. And that's like the last we see of them until graduation day. Okay. Let's see. 11 draws Callie and Max into Vecna's mind world to search his memories. Cool thing with that, right? Where Max is like, suddenly she gets up and we're like, oh, she's getting up. And they're like, oh, wait, no, that is. Like,
oh, I knew right away. When she looked over and the candy striper was gone, I was like, oh, she's not in our world anymore. She's going to get up from that chair. And boom, there she was.
Did you figure it was 11? That was a surprise.
That's what threw us. We were like, oh, it must be a Vecna thing. We thought it was a Vecna thing.
Yeah, that was a Vecna thing.
I thought too. I thought it was Vecna as well.
I also thought it might have been Will being like, hey, by the way, I want to come out again. So I want to like gather a bunch of people together. There's a lot of people are standing around. I figured I might come out to everybody else. Okay. So, yeah.
What do you think the military will say when I come out to them?
Where's Linda
in the 80s.
Maybe that's why she's been hired on here. So she can be a part of Will coming out.
Right.
What if she was there? Just randomly.
She'd have the same look on her face.
Yeah, the same look on her face, yeah. Scowling. Does that mean he has superpowers? All right. As the others climb the radio tower, Mike apologizes to Will for being inattentive to his struggle with his sexuality. This sentence is doing more than that the episode's doing with them, all right? And the two affirm their friendship.
Best friends.
Mike being like, yes, I did stare at you often, and I've very much known the entire time, but I'm sorry I didn't say anything, including the word gay, which the show still has never used. Although, they did not do it, so I guess that's something.
Sure.
Although it seems like it's easy to... I don't know how easy it is to cut out for the China release. I got to think about that, how easy it would be to sketch around all those areas. It's like, there's a character named Will they don't even know. the abyss begins descending, destabilizing the tower and nearly killing Steve before Jonathan says, okay, so here's the part. So Steve's about to, like, he basically falls off the tower, right? And then it cuts to black. I'm like, well, that's dramatic. And then it goes back from black, and somebody's grabbed his hand, and of course it's Jonathan. I'm of the from the get go of this whole season. I was of the mind that I didn't think anyone's going to die. I was pretty set on this. So that's just a question for you guys. Did you think anyone on the show was going to die? Like, do you think beyond like a sacrifice play from probably 11, just because that seems like a very obvious thing?
Like, I just
do you think they're like going to murder Dustin at some point?
No, it just seemed too crude for what the show was. And
that's my thought.
The show has not let people die unless they're an adult that's a guest for one season.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, they did kill Billy, and they did kill Eddie. But, like, those were not... They were instrumental pieces to character development of other people. Like, they weren't...
And they're not core characters.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, Will Byers didn't die. Hopper didn't die. Levin's never died.
Like, Hopper kept trying to die, but every 10 seconds, like, oh, man.
Yeah. I want to die! So
I thought there was no way they were going to kill any major, especially the kids. I was like, no, they're not going to kill
anyone.
They
had chances where they could have killed Steve Harrington in the early going on in the show, but sure. Keeping around this long.
They clearly love Steve a lot.
I mean, he's the most popular character on the show. So that would have been the biggest middle finger. And there are videos of theater reactions to him falling, this falling thing. And man, those Duffer brothers sure love those fake out cut to blacks, don't they?
Cut to blacks up is like, right, what do we even cut the black for? For the commercial break? Like, what was that?
No, they were totally doing it for the theater play, like just to hear it so they could film an audience going, and then the cheering moment of Jonathan.
And it's Jonathan saves them.
Yes.
You know, I got to say, though, now looking back on it, again, we'll get to the axe. Could have killed Joyce. Could have. You could have done that. It could have been, spent her whole life, you know, or this whole time of these years protecting Will, and Will's gotten stronger and all these things. And then ultimately, there's a sacrifice. That could have happened. I could see that of happening, but they didn't. I mean, but
there's nothing. There'd be nothing earned there. Like that'd just be like random.
And,
like,
and you leave. Like,
well, I mean,
like Hopper. Hopper makes sense. Like Hopper is like, he guy's been 1 foot in the door, trying to die anyway. Joyce would just be like, that's so mean.
I mean, I guess if I thought if you know they could have killed like Murray.
Sure. I was pretty set on Murray, like maybe this will defy my expectations. They will kill Murray because that's like that seems like that made me. But he's also like he's too goofy. It'd be a weird like way to like change the tone of the show if they killed the goofy guy.
Because like if you kill Joyce, you leave those two kids with no parent.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah,
like,
I know.
Because
I mean,
dad is like someone they don't want to be around. But like. At the same time, do you want them to kill people? Like, that's the thing. Like,
no,
true. We had this standard of like stakes can only be made by people dying, or you have to kill. Like, people demand a sacrifice. Well, it's characters they claim to love, and like, you can do it without it.
No, you can't. And I think it's also it's another way of saying I need to believe the stakes more. I don't think necessarily people that are anticipating some kind of death. Want a death, not in every case. I do think it's more of I want the show to show me that things are really, really serious. I can see that being a substitution for them. They're not expressing it that specific way, but I can see what the point is of that. I don't necessarily agree with that point, but I can understand like where that comes from.
Yeah. They do kill somebody, but it's one that the internet people didn't like to begin with, so it doesn't count.
Who are we talking about?
Callie, is that her name?
Callie, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they killed Callie. I mean, like, yeah, we barely know that character. Yeah. So, I mean, and it's a good sacrifice. Like, and it when all is said and done, it's
and
a
it
good,
has additional yeah, layers mean, and all that. All right.
I will say that, like, I had never read Lord of the Rings, and I remember watching Return of the King, and when you get ready for that final assault on Mount Doom or whatever, I was like,
I don't know, man.
There's only,
you know
there's
what's
only,
called Mount Doom.
Like, is it in Mount Doom?
Yes, it's called. Don't say Mount Doom or whatever, as if you don't know it's called Mount Doom. It's called Mount Doom.
Oh, so I love that trilogy, but when I looked back on it, I was like, that is kind of weird that no one died. I was like,
the King of Rohan died. You guys,
the Fellowship is. That's something I always kind of like snicker at every time I think about it. It's like, oh, the Fellowship did pretty good in all. Like they set out on a mission, they accomplished the mission. Like,
But like I was going to say, I will say flash forward 2018, I think it's 2018. Honestly, I was surprised that they killed Tony Stark. Like it just didn't occur to me when I was watching the movie. I was like, oh, like when you get to the part, I was like, oh, he's going to die. But I mean, like I was, it did not occur to me when I was watching.
I don't want to do these movies no more.
Yeah.
Yeah, that lasted.
But who dies in Return of the Jedi?
Well, Vader, but that's
but that's not one of the heroes. Who dies in Return of the Jedi? Yoda. There you go.
Oh, okay. That's right. When 900 years old, you get Lucas Good. You will not. Yes.
He really, it's not even like he dies. Just more like, I'm kind of tired.
Yeah. He doesn't die in battle or anything. Yeah, yeah. He just like disappears.
I'm
like,
But there's no battlefield death in that like, aside from some like rando
that,
Ewoks.
That one Ewok,
like, yeah. But like, there's no like, where's this demanding a sacrifice coming from? Like,
no, you're right.
I guess you're saying, like, so where's you're asking for, where's the example where that is a thing? Like, and when did that become a thing? I'd argue Lost is the thing that made that trendy.
Lost in 24 did that. Lost 24 in 24.
Though, yeah. Game of Thrones, I guess.
Game of Thrones after. And it's also books. Like, that's
Lost in 24 made that a thing to where you got numbed by, well, who's gonna, okay, that's the person that's gonna die. Like, I think like Curtis Manning was the last death on 24 that was like, oh shit. And then the rest were all like, well, it's sweeps week, so who's dying on this show? That's how it played. And like Lost
is who's getting it, who's having too many DUIs in Hawaii. Okay, let's get rid of them.
It's the finale. who's gonna die in the finale? Who's gonna, you know, like, that's just the crazy. Yeah, those made it popular, and that made people equate that with that. Just like when someone's like done with a film franchise, they're like, you gotta kill him. You know, you don't have to. Like, M didn't have to die in Skyfall. They do, but like, she couldn't just retire because they're like, oh no, Judi Dench has to come back. She's still alive. It's like, so stupid mentality. But yeah, they demand a sacrifice.
I think it works. You know, it's funny. I will say, I think it works in Skyfall. But
it works in Skyfall as far as the, what they're trying to do with that story. It's not like
part of
that
story. Spoiler alert if you haven't watched the James Bond movies, but I mean, like, I don't mind.
You'll never
guess
who dies two films later.
Yeah. Like, actually, I don't mind the way they closed out the Daniel Craig trilogy, only because they had never done that. If they had always done it, I'd be like, eh, of course you're going to kill James Bond. But they had never done it before. So I was like, okay. I was like, well, yeah, sure.
Since
like,
the narrative was so wrapped around the idea of it being a very continuous narrative, I mean, like, it makes
level. So I was like, okay. I will say, going back to Lord of the Rings, though, I had never really noticed, and we'll get more into this as we keep going, I had never really made a connection between Lord of the Rings and Stranger Things. Stranger Things has a lot of things that I've said this on the podcast, like, you know, Spielberg, Stephen King. There's a lot that they're pulling from. But in this finale, there is a lot lore-wise that really feels like they're doing a Return of the King type.
Well, what they're doing,
it's a D&D campaign.
D&D, Peter.
It's a D&D campaign.
Sure. Oh, you're right. Yes,
that's,
I guess.
That's one of the things I wanted to give it.
Which is created because they couldn't get the rights to Lord of the Rings. I mean,
Wait, is that true?
Yeah. That's why D&D exists, because they couldn't
D&D, the tabletop game, the name Dungeons & Dragons is because they couldn't get the name Lord of the Rings?
They couldn't.
Actually, I didn't know that.
They couldn't make a game on the specific Tolkien character, so they made Dungeons & Dragons instead.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, but I was going to say that the big thing in Lord of the Rings, which I do think is great, and I think that this show sort of goes further, is that it's not really, as Brandon would say, it's not about just like killing the characters. It's more about, this group is forever changed. That's the big thing. In Lord of the Rings, that's the thing, that you can't really return to the Shire. They've seen too much. They live too. And that's sort of what this show is that it's like, they've lived this life or whatever, and now they can't, their innocence is sort of, you know, coming of age.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
the thing that, like, a lot of things with tackling with advanced, you know, I would bring up Doctor Who, but once you're a human companion that's traveled in time and space throughout and you leave, like, what is there for you in normal life, you know? Like,
that's why I don't buy Marty McFly in Back to the Future 3 being like, he just gets a truck and he's fine. Like, this kid would want to be time traveling all the time.
Yeah. But the thing, to be fair, Marty went to a specific future one time for like a day, and then most of his stuff was spent in 85 in the past and then a further past. So it wasn't like he was bouncing around all over in the future.
Yeah, Marty was also like trying to get back all the time and not, because he accidentally time traveled instead of wanted to. It's not like he tried to do that. So.
Right.
His kooky friend, though, couldn't stop doing it. He built a whole train. I mean, he's doing his own thing. Anyway, where are we? Jonathan saves Steve.
Yes. Yeah.
In the Mindscape, Eleven's group finds Holly and the other missing children in the Creel house.
Right.
Which is a pretty cool scene. Callie hides them while Eleven attacks Henry.
Yeah, so that was a good
all,
scene.
So
yeah.
They're all at the dinner table getting fed all that Vecna. And
then she just like bitch slaps him out of
the
table.
She knocks him like through a window. Awesome. Yeah.
And she also they have to prove to the kids that Vecna's bad.
Yeah, so after she knocks him through a window, which is cool, and then like he comes back in and Eleven's there and they're like having a showdown. Well, Vecna like drags her and like gets all violent with her while the kids are like invisible so they can see all this happening. So it's like, oh good, they're proving that this is happening.
Right. I like that.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. Yeah. Yeah, Eleven attacks Henry, stopping the dimensional descent long enough for the tower group to enter the abyss and search for Vecna's lair. That's the other thing that's happening. Okay. As this is all happening, this is where things get tricky. Vecna, figuring out new strategies, shows Hopper a vision of Eleven plotting with Callie to kill herself and manipulates him into thinking that he has shot her.
Oh, this was crazy.
Prompting Hopper to pull Eleven from the tank to implore her to live. We were sitting there being like, watching this happen, and we're like, that's the worst part of this. No, that's the bad thing. We are so convinced that this worked. That the show pulled
us. Yeah, I bought it. I totally bought it.
Yeah, no,
the show got us.
Yeah. What I mean, they do this whole episode of like messing with expectation, playing on expectations, and then delivering crowd-pleasing moments at the like doing stuff at the same time. They're having fun with their they have a grasp on their audience and they know how to toy with them. And I think I don't think this does any sort of like fan pandering stuff. It is totally playing with their expectations and giving them such a ride that they're going through with knowing where their expectations are at and what they're thinking at this time. Like, I think they actually do a very good job with this stuff.
I agree. Without going too far ahead, I was very satisfied with the overall like delivery of this. I think it does a pretty effective job.
I do think they stick the landing on this show quite well. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, internet, but.
I mean, even the internet. Well, no, that's not true because there's like people call over a Snyder cut of this fucking episode because they're ridiculous. There's fan petitions online saying Netflix needs to release the Snyder cut, and the Duffers are like, we don't know what that. What are you asking for? We wanted to make.
I need to see Eleven jumping on the rocks.
But
it'll make it better.
She should be eating Legos with Mike and Hopper. this did throw us through a loop. We're like, wow, that he killed her. He shot her at least. That's terrible. That's the worst version of this.
It's a lot of blood. I mean, it's
they do a good
a
job.
Lot of blood and in that bodysuit or whatever, that surf suit. Yeah.
And then it didn't happen. It was like, oh, that makes more sense because Vecna wouldn't want to kill them. He kind of like needs them. So that, would really help his.
Well, they also have that pressure before they get to Vecna of the tower, which Steve fell off too. That was handled pretty good too. Yeah. Where it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. No, the thriller and the tension going on here, like, is handled effectively for sure.
Yeah.
As all this is happening, Dr. K, I believe that's Linda Hamilton, right? Forces capture Max, Vicky, the candy striper, Erica, and Mr. Clark. So that's where they are for the rest of the episode. They're captured by Linda Hamilton.
Is Linda Hamilton's guy that's like got the busted face?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
She should have been that guy. Like, he's in that episode more. Yeah.
And like, he's like, I get that. That's great. And I saw the best. This is not mine, but someone said, describe Linda Hamilton's character from Stranger Things. And it was, she's the person who gets out of vehicles. Wasted. I don't know.
Like, it very much seems like just cred for having her as opposed to like having something for her to do throughout the
week. They could have got a less expensive 80s star to come and do this, I'm sure. But
like, what?
I mean, they could have got like Heather Langenkamp to play this or something. Like,
Daphne Zuniga.
Yeah, Daphne Zuniga, like somebody. Yeah,
wouldn't that be random if Daphne Zuniga was a character?
Those characters are not like kick ass with gun. Like, that's not it.
What I mean, she's a whole bunch of stormtroopers in that.
I mean, I guess. Like, I'm just surprised that they don't give. I mean, I'm you know, more power to them and to give Linda Hamilton all the money. I'm just surprised they didn't give her a fun scene. She doesn't really have much to. That's
no,
my the, thing more.
No, she has
like,
no
it's just
fun
so
in
weird.
The show.
It's, yeah, not, it's like, yeah. Why didn't you get. You got Linda Hamilton. Give her a fun send off or something. Like, I just. Yeah, that was weird to me.
She fought Hopper at the end of the first volume, and since.
Nothing.
And they don't even really give us a. They never even give us, like, the. You know, at least with Papa, right, with Modine, we sort of understand where he's coming from and why he's been on this, like, journey with these children and everything. With her, I'm like, I don't really get why this is important to her.
And
like,
we still don't by the end of this episode because he just disappears.
Like, and I still don't.
He disappears, like, when they're like, well, you guys have seen too much. Bye.
Yeah, that too, which makes no
we'll
sense.
We'll get there. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
In the Upside Down, Ackers leads an assault on Hawkins' lab, threatening Callie to force Hopper to reveal Eleven's location. Ackers is the other guy with the face, I assume.
Ackers!
Yeah, we're crazy. So all this stuff's happening in the Hawkins, the Upside Down Hawkins lab. Lots of fighting and what have you. Guns and faces and all that. And this is when Murray's time to shine. He's like, all right, I got to get a gas grenade. He throws it at a military helicopter from the roof. At first, Peter and I were like, is he going to jump onto the helicopter? That seems like a. And then we're like, oh, no,
it almost looks like he's going
the way
to.
It's shot, like... It's like, that seems like a. You can throw farther than you can jump, bro. And like, okay, good. He is.
Yeah.
So he throws a grenade at the helicopter from the roof, causes an explosion. It allows Eleven to kill all the soldiers, but Callie still gets shot by the dude. Eleven tells Hopper that she must face Vecna directly in the abyss, and makes him a promise.
Right, because Callie is mortally wounded.
She's mortally wounded. No, she's not going anywhere.
Right.
Oh, by the way, you know, we've talked about the visuals in this episode. When he throws that grenade at that helicopter, it looked pretty cool. Like, it's a good looking explosion helicopter. Like, it's a big old, you know, a lot of things happen. Because it's like, I mean, there's like C4 all over the place also. So it's like, yeah, okay, good.
I mean, this is a compliment, but the explosions and stuff in that, like, it looks like professional 80s model work. And I know it's CG.
Yeah,
and I mean, as a compliment.
They got it's ILM doing it, so it's like, yeah, all right. Yeah. They put their A game in this apparently because it looks terrific.
Yeah, I would say this really is one of those times where, like, when we got computer generated effects, obviously, you know, Jurassic Park or whatever, you know, like from the 90s and 2000s, there were a lot of huge expensive blockbusters that we would all go see in theaters, The Mummy, where the effects were okay. We're like, eh, like, this doesn't look great. Mm-hmm. And now it's 2025. And this is essentially a television show, but of course costs, I don't know, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, this is reportedly one of, like, the most expensive episodes of television of all time, if not the most. So, like,
but it looks,
like,
pretty great.
That makes sense.
But I guess I'm saying that, like, when The Mummy was made, I mean, like, I wouldn't say The Matrix because that does hold up. But even when I saw The Mummy the first time and that was expensive to make, it didn't look great. This, I'm like, no, this looks really good. Like, this looks like the money's on the screen, you know? Like, so I'm just saying there's a period where any of us who grew up through 80s and 90s and 2000s with movies where the technology, we really had to, like, catch up to really get to a place like this where it's, yeah, like you said, it really, a lot of that stuff, some of the stuff could be model work, it could be practical explosions, and I can't necessarily tell, even though my mind is like, well, it probably is computer generated, but... Like, yeah, it's all very effective.
All right. So Callie gets shot. Any thoughts on this whole section here where she gets winged?
R.I.P.
Well, I think they... I felt like they... Again, I haven't seen that season 2 episode in a long time. I did feel that they sort of did Callie a little dirty in that... In the episode before... That's when it's revealed that she's like, look, what we got to do is you and I need to stay behind once it happens. We need to sacrifice herself, which makes us not like her because even though we understand, we're like, well, we don't want you and Eleven to get, especially Eleven. We don't really want you killed. And the same end, Hopper never trusts her. And there was a part of me that was like, I would have liked if they had more time for the Hopper Kelly to have the moment of like, you know, to that like mutual respect, it doesn't really happen. It's just kind of like, and she used her powers and then she died.
Callie's been through some shit though.
She had. Like the whole thing to me is that it's very much the reason it works for Eleven is that Eleven has a support group. And that's classic like movie stories. It's like the reason the hero is the hero is because they have friends and family.
Meringue material.
All of hers are dead, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so yeah, I don't know. I guess I would have liked a little nice little moment, emotional beat for her, but I mean, but I get it.
You wanted that nod in T2 between Linda Hamilton and the Terminator, where he's like, all right.
Yeah, yeah, sure. One more chip. It's Dyson.
Before the thumbs up, where like after it takes out the T-1000, and there's some Linda. It's one of my favorite like Linda Hamilton things she does, where she just like, because she's like, she's never like against Arnold, because she knows like it's a machine, it's on my side. What am I gonna do about it? But she does give him like a little nod, like towards the very end, right before he gets into the thing. She's like,
Is this before you get the clone, Linda Hamilton's sister, before the big confrontation?
No, it's after she's killed the T-1000 and he's about to get onto the thing and like lower himself in. And like John's already having like emotional moments and everything, but
he's like, "I'm sorry, John. I'm sorry, I got to do it." Yes,
but then he looks to Linda Hamilton and she's like respect. It's like, because this thing's like her nightmare for like 30 years, whatever, 8, 9, 10 right. years. So it's like,
right, yes, right,
and,
yes.
And so now that he's like, you know, destroyed the T-1000, he's going to murder himself. She's like, okay, you're pretty cool. Like it's just like it's a little thing there. You've proven your worth here now that you're going to, you know, destroy yourself. All right. Thanks. In the Mindscape, Henry pursues the children into the caves. He finally gets over the cave thing, forcing himself to relive his trauma.
We see what's in the box.
The show does the work as far as like getting me to like believe in this idea that the caves are this much, because I'm just sitting here being like, dude, it's caves. Like, we know what happened in there. You can like, how powerful are you? You can't walk into a cave. The show does a good job of being like, okay, so once he steps in the cave, it's like nonstop.
It's like he relives it.
Nonstop. Yes, it's like fucking with his head. Like he's getting shot.
He feels it. He doesn't just remember it.
The show does a good job of making it like feel more visceral than it, you know, because if I'm just told like he can't walk into a cave, like I needed more of the show gave it to me. Holly leads the children into the mine and attacks Henry to buy time. So the kids all like, they leave the cave because they see him in the cave. They leave the cave. They go out of the down to the dirt. I've seen a lot of memes of that of the kids being in the dirt in the Linkin Park video where it's what's the song In the End, where there's like another, it's like a wasteland that looks very similar to like what the this area of the mind looks like, which is pretty funny. Let's see. In his memories, Henry sees his younger self open up a briefcase and become corrupted by a fragment of the Mind Flayer.
The one ring to rule them all. Precious. Yes.
I forgot the Mind Flayer specific. That's season two, right?
Season three.
It's the mall. It's the big monster. Big monster. Mall.
Yeah. Three, four, and five. Yep. Is all connected.
What's two? What's the threat in two?
Two is the dog.
Sean Astin? I don't remember.
Dogs. It's just them just exploring the upside down a bit more. And then at the end of two, they go to the dance and you can see the Mind Flayer on the upside down.
On the upside, that's what it is. Yeah. Because okay. Remember, it's a cool shot and everything. And cool. All right. Great podcast. Will tells Henry that he was vulnerable. He was a vulnerable child used by the Flayer, and urges him to help destroy it. Will's in Henry's mind at this point because he's seeing everything that Henry's seeing. And so that,
I sense the good in you.
Yeah, exactly. He's trying to luke it out of him.
It's too late for me, my son. Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, feeling that he and Henry are both scared children who are used as vessels, Henry refuses, claiming he willingly submitted to the Flayer's influence and that he and the Flayer are one. So this guy's beyond reproach.
Of course. Yes.
I like this. No redemption arc. You don't have to always have a redemption arc for a villain. This
which is- I, but was, I get them. I was worried about that a lot.
But because it's children, I get them at least trying. Because it's like, dude, you were a kid when this happened.
I'm not against trying at all. That's fine with me.
It would have been lame, though.
We'll defeat them together. At the end of this fucking show, they're at the graduation, and fucking Henry's there in the crowd, being like, you did it to us in your valedictorian. Like,
no. If they were going to do this, I imagine Henry would be dead at the end of it, like sacrifice himself so Elle could
probably
move on.
Yes.
And then at their graduation, you have the ghost Jedi Henry, like, with Sean Astin and Billy,
yes,
a demodog,
yeah. Yes. A demodog, yes. Yeah.
Barb,
yes, you have to have Barb.
Yeah, who else? Let's light up this row of people. Up, all those, all it's just it's everybody.
Eddie. You have a Christy.
Christy,
Barb, yeah,
who's in Barb? It's all the people that Hopper shot.
An entire army
waving.
Papa.
Oh, Callie. Papa.
Matthew Modine. Yes, Matthew Modine.
Yeah.
Callie,
but she's Callie like with super her
hair.
Punk.
And her hair is like, it's longer than
cool
ever.
Punk hair.
It's longer than ever. It's down to her, like, it's all the way down to her knees. It's that long.
It's all to a Butthole Surfer song or
did
something.
Paul Reiser like live? The, I forget about
Yeah, Paul Reiser live.
He lives.
Oh,
right,
and you get Harold Ramis.
Yeah, God, yes.
Harold Ramis, Carl Weathers, the alligator from Happy Gilmore. They're all there. The entire everyone involved in Stonewall. Just for Will. You're like, oh, thanks. That's great. Although they'd still be alive, I guess. You can say he's the 80s. So,
right.
Since he's got a hand in this, I wanted to point out while we're here at this area that you're talking about the Linkin Park thing.
Yes.
I want to credit it because it feels in line with D&D stuff, like a drawing in a book you would have seen.
Sure.
Like a D&D book. And like it's far more interesting and visually pleasing and stuff than the dumb desert in Deadpool and Wolverine, which Sean Levy had a hand in, and I know he touches Stranger Things too, but I'm like, this looks interesting even though it's not populated by fucking anything. Interested in what else goes on around here other than, and they're like, here's a desert, cool.
It's the best red wasteland I've seen since Joss Whedon's Justice League.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh god, I forgot about that area. Yeah,
Joss Whedon just came. He's like, "Well, we make it all red." Like, all right, yeah, we fixed it. We did it, guys.
I think we can release this now.
Add a Russian, add a Russian family. All right. Yeah. It is weird that nobody lives there except that family. All right, what happened next? There one in the abyss. Henry's lair is revealed to be a physical body for the Mind Flayer, which raises as a giant kaiju and attacks others. Does this please Aaron? You fucking bet it did.
Dude, that thing looked awesome. That was an awesome monster, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good monster.
I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't take a lot for me to be excited by a giant, but this thing's like, this is a fucking giant version of one of those.
They
give me this always.
Well, like, this is them. So I see people calling, like, I've seen people calling this episode safe. I'm like, doing this is fucking going for it and not being safe because they have not try like this.
It could have been like
this,
another haunted house with Vecna popping up in windows or some shit. It's this feels is a fucking kaiju. They're going after.
Like, you're going for this, and you're like, I hope people buy this, and like, it for a show that's been as you know, it's a big show, but it's still small scale. This is gigantic. This is why you go to the theater to see it, and it works. It moves right. It looks good against humans. Like the visual, like this all, like this is where I'm like, okay, this is why this show is fucking expensive.
Yeah,
it looks
fantastic.
All
of it looked great. I'm like, this, I was saying, we were saying at the time in your place, it was like, this would have been great in a theater to see. That said, we're also having a lot of fun saying video game things. It's like, all right, boss battle, here we go.
Right, yeah.
Get the glowy parts.
Look for the glowy parts. That's how you take the limbs off. Yes.
Open up.
And they even had the weird egg sacs at the top, underneath the undercarriage. Shoot at.
If he starts blinking, it's working.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, it's ridiculous. In a way, for it to be like, and
well,
now
fun.
All
that's
these
what, it's
kids
fun.
Somehow
that's what it is,
are gonna, right? But it's very fun.
How
are you going to attack that?
Yeah, they have this giant thing, and there's 12.
Don't they even call it Godzilla?
Under 30 fighting it.
Yeah, don't they call it Godzilla at one point?
Hawk calls it Godzilla, yes.
Yeah, like
Earlier, just to point this out because it matters, we get like one moment between Mike and his sister Nancy, with the show reminding us that, you know, they're siblings, and yes, being like, "Hey, can I get a gun?" Because Nancy's like fucking Rambo and Ripley combined into one like ultra soldier, so she is like packed with weapons. And Mike's in there being like, "All I have is my friendship with Will," and so he's like, "Okay, here, take this," and he gives him a flare.
And Lucas is like, dude, it's a flare gun.
Yeah, but he still gets something. But this matters because now we get like the big old battle. Eleven arrives and battles Vecna inside the flare's body, which I'm like, all right, cool. She does a pocket sand move at one point, which is pretty funny. Pocket sand, and then she like disappears. Well, Nancy's, and keep in mind, there's a giant like fucking kaiju mind player, and these kids are on the ground. We kept being like, they have to be really fast to get the word they need to go in the amount of time that they do.
And this thing's like,
this thing's like crawling after them, and they're like running like what seems like miles because of how big this landscape is, but they still have to get there. And their whole plan is like, Nancy's gonna draw them into one position, and then they're gonna like flank the thing from the guns. Anyway, she shoots them with a machine gun, she runs away, draws them into a position. The rest of the group then is like using like fire, and they're throwing Molotovs. The Molotovs work. Then Mike has his flare gun, so he lights it on fire. They're doing all kinds of green stuff. It's great. Steve and Dustin are like poking the bear with their spears, knocking out all the like the baby Vecnas, I guess. I don't know. Whatever they're doing, it's working. Finally.
Well, I like Eleven jumping up and that shot of her going in the mouth and inside's a lair. Like that is some thoughtful, really cool shit.
Yeah, it's great.
Like it's
She does all. Yeah, she gets there. She does a whole jump thing where she goes inside of his body, so she's fighting him inside. They're fighting on the outside. It's so many layers of Return of the Jedi. It's great. There's all these different things happening. Finally, with Will's help, because he like stops him in some way, Eleven's able to impale Vecna. Right, she throws him against one of the spires and one of the stalagmites inside of the mind flayer body. Vecna gets impaled, and all the kids like come inside into the flayer and everything so they can get the kids, because the kids are still inside there. Right, they got to get all the kids out. They all got Vecna in their mouth. This whole time, we're still being like, where's Joyce again? Like, what's she? What's her deal? What's her like role in all of this? She's going to watch a bunch of kids like fight this giant kaiju?
Chopping at the leg.
You're doing great, son. Don't get into a seizure. At this point, there's one good shot of like Joyce with the axe, and Peter and I both like instantly were like, the axe. Like, I was like, that's what's gonna happen. She comes into the room and she takes an axe out, she starts chopping off the head, and she's Joyce, so she can't do it in one swing because she's a little frail woman. I'm kidding. But you know, she is small. It's Winona Ryder. She's not big. So she has to like take a lot of wax at it. And we're getting all the wax, and we're getting all these great shots of the kids. And it's like it's rarely effective. It totally turned me around on the whole, this sucks that Joyce is just kind of here and I have no reason to like want her to be here. And then it's like, oh no, this is epic. She's chopping this thing's head off, and you're seeing glimpses of the past of all the other seasons, of all the pain that
everybody's having.
I really like this moment a lot. I thought this was pretty effective.
No, this is perfect.
That's awesome.
Perfect person to do it. And then everybody watching, and just, that's a great way to kill off a villain.
And it's not a clean headshot like when Laurie decapitates Michael Myers. And
I was going to say,
was that Resurrection?
Well, H2O.
Oh no, is that H2O? H2O. H2O. Yes, sorry. Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah, we'll find out in the next season of Stranger Things that Vecna actually was a security guard the whole time.
Yeah, right. Yes, but it was pretty effective. Like, it's a pretty it's pretty good decapitation and everything.
We good?
And then there's still like 39 minutes left of the show.
There's still a lot of show left.
Because I remember being like, oh, there's still a lot left to go.
We still got
to
return that king.
Right.
So, okay. So now this is
not a quick walk out of there.
No, it's not. And this is where my head was at, too, where I'm like, okay, so they're going to leave now. So Hopper and Murray, they prepare the explosives to destroy the Upside Down. Makes sense. Okay. The group returns. So they're all driving out of the Upside Down. They're all triumphant and everything. My whole time, I'm thinking, the army is still like, what was their plan exactly? Like, they're just going to try out and be like, hey guys, we did this thing, let us go. Like, I don't know. So as I totally expected, that the second they drive outside the portal to the Upside Down, Linda Hamilton and her team are there, and they arrest them all.
They spike the wheels.
They put the spikes on the wheels, as if like I like, okay, yeah, they'll stop them. They just close the gate. That's another way they can stop them. But regardless, they all get arrested, and I'm like, yeah, duh. What else is gonna happen? Like, did their plan not include the escape plan? Like, what did they think was gonna be the deal? Like, they'll be like, oh, I can't believe those guys snuck by us. I guess we'll not worry about when they come back.
Right.
Anyway, the bomb's armed. Everybody's getting arrested. Mike's standing there being like, huh, where's my girlfriend? And then he's like, oh, there she is. And she's over there staying about to sacrifice herself. She's at the doorway of the Upside Down to sacrifice herself, because if there's one thing that makes sense, it's that Linda Hamilton will leave everybody alone if just Eleven dies. Here we are. Where in a final moment within her mind, she pulls Mike into to Scarlett Johansson world in Under the Skin. And
because they've got the things out there that'll cancel out her powers too.
Yeah,
set up so
make me wonder how. So she can still do that thing though, or she drives her into her mind, but
she's
can't
not
do
quite
that.
In there. If she enters there, there'll be
So that's right. She's not in the thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So she pulls.
She's still in the Upside Down.
She pulls Mike in, tells him she loves him, says, "Have all the waffles you want for me." She asks him to help others accept her choice. So basically, tell Hop. It's like he's not really having it. Then the bombs go off. The Upside Down's destroyed. The gate collapses. Relatively easy going. It seems like it might have had a little more suction on that, like it did Nancy shot the damn thing and it nearly killed everybody. Like they flip it up with C4. They're like,
Where's all the candle wax at now?
Yeah, they're like,
true.
It's all right. it's gone. Everybody's sad. Everybody's yelling. There's a lot of shots of Mike being like, Eleven! There's everybody's yelling in the air. Nobody's pumping their hands and like doing one of these and like screaming at God, which I would have liked, but it's fine. Everyone's still pretty sad. Not a lot of shots of Hopper, surprisingly. We were like, where's Hopper in all of this? Like, it seems like he would be pretty upset about like one shot of Hopper. I'm like, all right, he'd be sad. But anyway, Upside Down's destroyed. We're gone. We're out of there. Makes that town a lot less interesting, I guess, because the military up and left right away. They're like, you guys are cool. Don't tell anybody. Peace. Here's a coaster and a business card. 18 months later. And I'm like, that's a choice of time, I guess. All right. I'd like to know what happened within that 18 months, because it seems like there's a lot of questions to be answered. But anyway, 18 months later, I guess, is when they all get out of military prison so they can go back to school. Spring 1989. What's Freddy up to in 89? Anything? Because he's dead in 89. What's Freddy Dead come out?
When's Freddy's Dead?
Yeah.
That's in the 90s. 89 is the Dream Child.
Dream Child. Okay. That's where I'm at. That's the next one I got to watch. Mm-hmm. I almost watched it last night, too, and I didn't have time. I was like, I'm tired. Let's see. Robin's back on the radio. Apparently it took 18 months for her to get her radio license.
I think she's just guesting, because it sounds like she lives out of town. Yeah.
Yeah. She's gone somewhere. Basically, she's guesting to give an exposition dump to everybody else, which is like, all right, that's a choice. Anyone listening to the radio, he's like, why is she just telling us stuff we know? We've been here for 18 months.
Hey, man, she's got long hair. And Maya Hawk, I'm like, look at Maya Hawk. I'm like, did she age like 5 years between the last scene and this
Everybody
one?
Did, because like, Nancy's the best example of it. Like, she's like, I don't have to wear wigs anymore. I can be Nancy. I can be myself.
Right.
Right.
All right. So let's see. Where are we? Hawkins has recovered and the military is withdrawn for reasons. Mike, Will, Lucas, Dustin, and Max are preparing to graduate. It's great that Max was able to make up all the work that she missed over the 2 years of being in a coma. Good for her.
Yes,
really, I know.
But she's a smart kid. What can I tell you? That's why she's number one on the Space Aces arcade machine.
Right.
She's smarter than all of them. Everybody knows that. She's the smartest one. Mike struggles to attend. He's sitting on a bench being like, it's been 18 months and I can't stop crying about 11. And Hopper's like, dude, get the fuck over it. You're a child. But he says other things. I'll give it this, because I'm generally hard on Finn Wolfhard for no reason, because he's fine. But David Harbour, I think we've all kind of been like, he could be better. I think they all locked in for this. I think I think Harbour locked in a lot in this last these last few scenes that he's involved in.
Remember, honestly, the sheriff that we all mourned and died in town? He's back, folks.
He's
back.
he's running the town again.
So many military guys to earn it back.
Yeah, he's murdered so many of Linda Hamilton's. And apparently, she was just like,
Looks like we failed. Well, I think it's over, guys. Well, you guys can go home now.
Pack it up. If there was just like one scene of Paul Reiser being like, isn't it great that I cleared that stuff up for you, Hop? And be like, yeah, thanks, Paul Reiser. I'd be cool with that. That'd be fun. Also, because you get to see Paul Reiser again.
And he's there's so much also fun a year and a half, so, you know, the everything.
I want to see those deleted scenes. I want to see the Paul Reiser cut. That's what I want to see of this episode.
He's been well on the show, getting though. Grilled in an interrogation room. They're like, your representation's here, and it's Paul Reiser.
I mean, one of the more fun things about the reveals on the show was the fact that Paul Reiser was, in fact, a good guy the entire time. That was a fun thing about this show. In Paul Reiser's...
Because they played on your expectation with aliens and like that. So,
and you already had Sean Astin in that season also, and you're like, well, no one's good. Rudy's not going to be bad. He's Rudy. Like, he's a tryhard. He's not going to be bad, but there's no world where that works. And you can't have two good guys. That's too many. And they're like, nope, they actually are both good. Like, all right, never mind.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Hopper's like, kid, get the fuck over it. Go to your graduation. What are you doing here? You can mope in the chair at graduation if all I care. Like, just to stop sitting in the town square. You're scaring all the citizens around me. So Mike gets up. Like I was saying, Harper is locked in, as much as I'm making fun of this. Harper is like, he's doing the job. And I think Finn Wolfhard is actually really good in this, too. I think that this whole stuff he's doing at the end here, I think he's actually like, he's making it seem like this has been his show all along again, like it was supposed to be.
Right.
he's doing the work. I can't wait to see him host SNL next month. I want to know what that looks like.
They do really bring it back to Mike in this.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. And it's good. Like, that's the other thing. It's not just like forced. It's like, no, he actually does a good job with this. So now I'm like, yeah, okay, I want to see you do skits with Mikey Day and see how that goes. But we'll find out when in February or whatever.
Wait, has Millie Bobby Brown been so?
No.
Is he so he's the first?
I think Harbor did.
Harbor did.
Oh, right. Harbor. Okay. Yeah. And technically, Winona Ryder might have in the past.
Winona Ryder has in the past. Yeah. But that, Harbor did based on, as far as people based on Stranger Things, Harbor.
Yeah.
And that Barb episode we all remember. That's not true.
Right.
All right. Dustin is the class valedictorian. He gives a speech honoring Eddie. The speech he gives, I said to you, Peter, I was like, this seems like a speech that applies to 12 people, and yet the entire class is like, super
I know, they're like so into it, like, yes.
But it's exactly what Eddie said in season 4 that he would do.
Okay, so anyway, Dustin's, he's giving a big speech that, like, starts off pretty earnest, and then it becomes more and more like, oh, it's actually an Eddie speech. Meanwhile, we're seeing everybody where everybody is. Steve's now a baseball coach. Let's see.
Mike, when he showed up there, they paused the entire graduation for him and his mom to have a 20-minute conversation.
I haven't finished the speech.
Okay.
Like, we're also getting shots of what everybody else is doing.
Oh, yes.
So Steve is now a baseball coach. Jonathan is now, he's studying filmmaking at NYU. We eventually learned that Nancy's just a journalist, but Nancy's like around. And we'll get back to them in a second. But yeah, so Dustin's giving this whole speech about everybody. Everybody's getting like shots in the crowd and everything. We get to see Mike's family. So we see, what's his last name? Wheeler. We see Mrs. Wheeler and her gnarly scars, and they're like, hardcore. Yeah. And then like Mr. Wheeler's there, and it's like, I guess
they waited for last to reveal the big hero was alive.
The big hero.
Yeah. Chump of a dad there. Was alive. He survived. Yes.
We see Holly and Erica having just the worst fucking dresses I've ever seen.
Have you seen the 80s? How they dress kids in the 80s?
And I'm like, good God, I'm glad we're away from that period. Jesus
not
Christ.
Far off, man.
I'm like, God, did they not have a choice at all in this? Like, oh boy. Like, I mean, if Lucas can't get a good haircut, I guess this makes sense, but still. that's the other thing. All the kids, this was great. The 18 months later, all the kids' hair grew out and they look back like they look very similar to their season 1 haircuts. Even like the Dustin's mullet was not a mullet anymore. He just had like curly hair. Lucas was back to having just like a regular person's hit, not a high top fade that looked ridiculous on him. Even Mike's hair is kind of like back to like young Mike. And Will's had a bowl cut that actually somehow worked for him more. It was like, anyway, I was like, thank God all these wig departments have to like stop working so terribly on this. He gives the whole speech. It turns into a whole Eddie thing. He starts making fun of the principal, saying he sucks. And everyone starts cheering. He takes off his shirt. He has the, what is it? The,
Fire, Hellfire,
Hellfire Club.
The Hellfire Club shirt. And everyone's like, we used to bully him for this, but now we love him.
Yeah.
And, and this is what I kept yelling out now about at the other thing. All the key kids are hanging out. They're like, that was a great speech and all that. The hot girls come up to Dustin's like, hey, we're having a party later.
Casey.
We're going to have a party. And he's like, oh, really? And Mike's like, guys, wait. I got a better idea. I'm sitting there yelling at this kid, like, you can play D&D any day. This is what you do. There's no, like, what?
Dustin's finally getting a girl, and you're taking that from him.
This is one party. This is the party. Also, where's Dustin? Doesn't have a girlfriend? Where's Dustin's girlfriend go? Did they break up? What happened?
People break up. Where did the candy stripe girl go?
I thought they were going to do was they're going to do D&D, and then they're going to go to the party. I didn't think it was one or the other.
You know how long it takes to play?
Rangers going
to
play all night. Well, I mean,
you know how long
right.
it takes to play? Like,
yeah. No, that's true. Right? Yeah, that's true.
It felt like they were playing at like 2 in the afternoon, and then Holly came down with her friends like,
It's her turn, right? Yeah. So I assumed they would be hitting the party afterwards, but yes.
No, they did not.
Aaron's right.
Mike's
was like, why can't you do both
for everybody? Like,
yeah.
Well, what are they having lasagna? Are they having lasagna at midnight? Because mom's like, lasagna's getting cold.
Yeah, it was a bunch of bullshit. That's what I was just like.
Well, to be fair, the thing you're forgetting though is that while Mike is at the graduation, there's some weird thing with the speakers, and the speakers makes him think of something, which is
we're not at the D&D yet. We're still focused on this bullshit.
No, but I'm saying the speaker moment is at the graduation.
Dustin getting cock blocked, and then we go to the rooftop.
During the graduation, when Mike gets there finally, and everyone's like, oh, thank God, Mike's here. thank God, this one chair won't be empty anymore. Good gracious. He does notice the speakers, and he's like, ideas. Then Christy's all coming on to Dustin and everybody, and they're like, you should come to this one party that we're going to have once, only this time. And Mike's like, no, we should do the thing we do every fucking night and play D&D instead and go to this party. You're never going to see her again. Peace. We're out of here. And so, so they eventually do. But meanwhile, then we get the adult kids. We get Jonathan, Robin, Steve and Nancy. They meet on a rooftop, a place they've never been before, but somehow seems like they've always been there. And they're like, hey, we should all, isn't it great that we're doing all this stuff? And I'm like, Nancy dropped out of college to just be a journalist at a job that seems like it's very tenuous at best. Like, all right. That said, Nancy's the only person that has a spinoff confirmed for Netflix. So, okay, we're going to see more Nancy adventures.
Wait, what? Is that true?
Yeah. She's got a spinoff coming according to Netflix that we're going to see more of Nancy. In her career as a photojournalist or whatever.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
Yeah, they convert. It's like, yeah, Natalie Dyer. Yeah, she's gonna have a spinoff. She's gonna have the one spinoff series of this show. Like,
no, she's not the photo. The photo would be more Jonathan. He's the filmmaker.
I said photojournalist. I just meant journalist.
Yeah.
I
think she's
called
the writer.
Wheelering and dealering.
And that said, I wouldn't be surprised if Jonathan's also involved. I mean, that makes sense. Plus, they are dating in real life. I mean, they've been together since, like, what, season 2? So, anyway. But, yeah, we are getting a spinoff series that's going to involve Nancy, I guess, journaling it up. But, yeah, they make a promise that they're all going to stay in touch and meet in Philadelphia, the midpoint between all of these places that they go to. Then we get to
episode 7 every year of their 8-episode
season. Yeah, check in on them.
Right, yes.
Joyce and Hopper, they're on this long-delayed date at this nice restaurant.
Oh, right.
With the whole jazz band and everything. Yeah, it's a pretty good jazz band. And Hopper, he says, hey, guys, play that song I force you to play. And so they play the song, and he gets on a knee, and he proposes to Joyce. And Joyce is like, fuck yeah, let's do this thing. it's just like that. Hopper's also like, by the way, I have been offered a better paying job as police chief of Montauk. And I'm like, Montauk, that's way the fuck out there. That's not near it. And he's like, it's really close to the kids. I'm like, no, it's not. It's like the last subway stop. What are you talking about, Hopper? Like, get a map.
Montauk is what Stranger Things was originally supposed to be called and is also it's the inspiration for it, which is a weird place if you look it up and stuff, there's
That's at the end of the line. It's where like Jim Carrey and Kid Winkler go in Eternal Sunshine, because it's like there's nothing there. It's just desolate.
It
just,
what is it, like an Area 51? Like people have
seen
there's weird government shit there from like World War II or something. And like, there's like a fake church. There's tunnels everywhere. It was the inspiration for them making Stranger Things.
So like, there's a...
Wait, is that where Malignant takes place?
No, what?
Why would remember you... Malignant? There's Malignant does have that tunnels.
Malignant does have that like whole like it just started like the random.
Well, like, where is this taking place? Like, so I was like, is it Montauk? Is that like?
But that's why I thought they mentioned it, because it was their Stranger Things.
That's probably why.
I get that. Yeah,
yeah.
Interesting. So Malignant's like Seattle. So like,
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah, I mean.
Well, regardless, yes, he's going to be stationed in Montauk. I'm like, that'd be a good spinoff territory. Go to Montauk, see what's going on over there. Maybe Nancy will visit them in the spinoff. She'll go to Montauk. It's just at the very end of New York, and it's like, that's not near the kids. That's what kept throwing me off. Like that's like being as far away as she can from them. Anyway, she says they say yes. They're like, okay, so they're going to Montauk. Good for them. Now we're at the Dungeons and Dragons game. And we're watching that epic Dungeons & Dragons battle, which the show actually does a pretty good job of communicating to people that don't know how Dungeons & Dragons work, which I'm always happy about, because that's like, when you can make that fun to talk out as opposed to like visualizing, it can be pretty cool to see. As one that's never actually played a campaign of Dungeons & Dragons, like, this is pretty effective. Mike's doing the whole like Dungeon Master stuff. Lucas and Max are like there, and they're everybody's together, right? They're all together doing their thing. The campaign ends and they win the campaign. That's the whole deal. And then Mike gives a big speech. And this is where Finn Wolfhard's like, I'm gonna act that my ass off of this scene. So he gives a whole speech about like where everything goes, right? Lucas and Max, they keep their thing together. Dustin goes off to college, but he gets to also keep adventuring of Steve. Will leaves Hawkins to find acceptance elsewhere, and if you think they're going to show like a 5-second shot of him finding some boy that he likes, they fucking did it. You know it. Mike becomes like a writer, and you can tell he becomes a writer because he has like glasses on and a scene next to a typewriter. So it's like, oh, that's how it works. His vision immediately got impaired the second he became a writer. So as all this seems like it's coming to a close, but they're like, oh yeah, 11, that sucks. And then Mike's like, but wait, hold on. Maybe, just maybe this happened. And Mike tells this whole story about perhaps Callie may have used her powers to trick Dr. K into believing 11 stayed behind in the Upside Down, when in fact, Callie actually helped 11 escape by, you know, projecting her, and then 11 went underground and then just left entirely and maybe escaped to some small town, which is what, Iceland? Like, is that what it was supposed to be? Like somewhere just out?
Somewhere like that, yeah.
Ireland or something. I don't know.
Her hair's all grown out. Like she's
just not wearing a wig. And she doesn't have to wear a swimsuit to hide the fact that she's an adult woman. But Mike, he admits he does not know if it's true, but he chooses to believe it. And all the other kids also choose to believe it.
Which I like. I actually like that.
I like that too. They go through this whole
even
deal.
Though technically didn't Kelly die an hour before that whole scene?
Well, we didn't see her.
We just know that she's going to die.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, you need to go. I'm stuck here. Yeah.
Wait, she's not. They don't look at her and she's not like, ugh, dead. Like,
no. If we're not gonna see 11 jump on rocks to get to that area, we're not gonna see Kelly die.
Yeah. Then why don't they at least wait? Okay, why don't they at least try to take her back if she's just
mortally wounded? She's shot.
She's done for.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying that plan. In order for this, I mean, I hope Mike's right.
The other thing is, she wanted to sacrifice herself anyway. She didn't want anything.
No, that's true.
She was going to be in there no matter what. So it's like, all right, Hopper, you leave. I'll be here. And I'll just let my, you know, I'll die from the gunshot or die from the world exploding on me. Either one is cool with me. That's how I roll, because I'm punk rock. so they all agree that 11 may be alive for the sequel series that we'll never get until we do. Karen calls them all up for dinner. Everybody walks up the stairs, putting their books away, just as Holly delightful dipshit Derek and other rescue kids all come down to the basement to start their D&D campaign. And I'm like, geez, Mike, be a good older brother. Help them play D&D. What are you doing?
Right,
you leaving, leaving the kids there? It's kind of
the saga continues.
Kind of rude. So Holly, Derek, John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, and Adam Driver all play D&D together. Mike looks on them and he's like, oh, those kids are just like us. Message. And he looks at the camera and gives a wink and a thumbs up. And then he goes upstairs, closes the door.
And he goes, you know, let me tell you, those were Stranger Things.
did you make the joke?
Boom, where it's like, written and directed by the Duffer Brothers.
Did you make the joke where it's like when Mike was writing the thing, it's like he should be writing Stranger Things is like the title of the book.
Yes. Those were Stranger Things.
Stranger Things. Like, a tale of fire and what if it went.
And then they have a nice credits.
Yeah, we did note at the beginning
what
that
was
they just
her
like,
name? 11. Yeah. 11 Stranger Things.
Yeah. And there's no Easter egg.
I'm back again. It's
just,
but we narked at the beginning of the episode that it like the credits just go straight to Stranger Things. Like, oh, they didn't have time for the credits. Like, oh, that's why, because they had to do a whole cast call at the end.
It was good. Good art. I liked it.
It was good awesome. Art. Yeah, also, they're playing David Bowie's Heroes, and I'm always about that. The whole episode, the whole finale had like Prince songs. I'm like, oh, they're spending some money here.
We're going to the songs here.
Okay, yes.
Yes, they got the side, it's the side B of Purple Rain, which starts with When Doves Cry. That was great. I thought that was awesome.
The Heroes song
Has
played three times in the series.
Yeah.
It was played when Will Byers was pulled out of the river or whatever, and he was dead. But guess what? He wasn't dead. It was also played when Hopper died, but guess what? He wasn't dead. And it starts playing when L is traveling, who they thought died. So I think that's them telling us she's really not dead. So that every time that song's played. Now, the Prince stuff, it takes bravery to use Purple Rain. Granted, it's a hard song to license. But Purple Rain is such a Prince song that it's there's a movie called Purple Rain where he plays Purple Rain, and it's always associated that you're like, I want people's memories of Purple Rain to be Stranger Things. And no, I don't think it is going to do that. But that's like, why are you going here with this? And then When Doves Cry, I mean, it's Prince, it's awesome. But When Doves Cry felt so out of touch with what was going, like, it was very Ms. Marvel, Just a Girl to me, where it was just like, you're just playing Captain the Marvel. Song.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel. Yeah, Captain Marvel, where you're just playing a song to play it because you got it. And it's like, you're not doing anything. There was no interesting edits. There was no, it was just, we're driving and When Doves Cry is playing.
Yeah, and you're not wrong.
Didn't really ramp up intensity.
But I was happy, but I get what you're saying.
And Purple Rain just ballsy. The best time it's ever been played on television was Super Bowl 41 when Prince played it at halftime.
I mean,
well, yeah.
But and they get the song
In the
and
Rain.
I get that they chop it up. They're so impatient to get to parts they want, and then they don't let the song breathe. As a person who, you know, people who know Purple Rain, you're like, oh, that's an edit. And let the solo play. You're not going to let the fucking outro. Like, I can, because I can imagine all these great cinematic things you could do with it, and they're like cramping it up. And not like just surrendering to it, because it's fucking Purple Rain. But kudos to them for getting it. I read that it was between this and a unnamed 1970s band's album that they thought they would have got an instant no from. But they said it was very hard to find a side of a record that both the first song and last song of it were banging
classics
for it.
Yeah.
But my thing, and then also, Robin plays Landslide to bring it back, and I'm like, that's kind of easy.
Yeah.
Like, but like my thing is, I loved what Stranger Things did with Running Up a Hill, Kate Bush. They picked a song probably most people didn't know going in or something, and they made it big. I wish they'd have done it more, and I can't. They got two Prince songs, so I can't be like, oh, they went to easy targets. Those don't get used in anything. But Landslide,
Yeah, for Robin especially, it's like she could have. She seems a little more outside the box than doing Landslide, but
yeah. So it felt that felt easy.
They did. They played some Pixies though, so I was satisfied.
Yeah, they did play some Pixies.
Yeah.
That always makes me happy. So I'm like, all right, fine.
And Cowboy, there's some Cowboy Junkies. Yeah, like it, I mean, yeah, but like I was hoping they would try. You know, with the success of last season with Run Up a Hill, that they were going to at some point this season find their next one or be drooling to find their next one, and they really kind of went easy. The songs they knew would connect easily, you know, they didn't, because Purple Rain, yes, fucking Purple Rain, everybody's gonna be like,
instead
oh!
they just trashed the Butthole Surfer.
Right,
their,
yeah,
their move was instead of propping up a song, mm-hmm. they trashed a different one. I'm like, all
right, right, which
it's
like,
not me yeah. for putting it on the podcast though, so you got that going for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so all that happens. The end. So overall, it seems like we're all pretty satisfied as a finale.
I really liked it quite a bit. I like that they gave like the last hour to let us enjoy the characters not in traumatic circumstances and growing up.
Me too.
Where they're going to go. Like they knew they were going to have the time. If they wanted a 4-hour episode, Netflix would have let them. But I question like how Steve got to be a teacher so fast, but... at the school, but hey, that's
well. It's 18. I mean, he was already out of the. I mean, 18 months later, popular. He's rich.
Yeah,
and he was a baseball. Being the baseball coach is the key. Like, he's good at sports. That's his thing. He was a sports. Yeah. He was a jock. If he volunteered to be the baseball coach, and see, especially with all the deaths that happened in that town, probably need a few teachers.
Yeah.
And then coaches always get to be like a teacher or something, just because it's like it's required of them to like teach some bullshit thing. So he just sex it. So it's like I get that. I get where that.
And I like that they reconcile that the L situation is what it is, and they don't, you know, they're not J.J. Abrams. They know there's consequences for choices and stuff that happen, and things have to reflect. The military getting wiped away real quick is a thing, but it has been a year and a half, and it's also an 80s set thing based on 80s movies and TV shows, and what does an 80s movie do? Just moves on quickly. So
true.
You could have that, but you know, I think it's a very satisfying close to a good season and a terrific run of a show. Like I'm surprised when I see like, well, I'm like, what did you want? I think it managed to crowd please without feeling pandering. And yeah, it went huge and succeeded, I thought, with the, you know, the big final battle.
No, I agree. I don't really have much complaints. I know that, yes, the only complaint I had heard from a friend of mine was what Aaron mentioned earlier of like, how did they not have a plan for when they were going to meet up with the military again? Yeah, I guess so. Like, sure. I will say, I do think, going back to, I brought this up like 3 times now, but like, I do think that for me and viewers around my age or a little younger, I do think that like Return of the King, which so much got at the time derided for its, you know, its multiple endings. It's like, oh, it's too many endings, 40 minutes of it. I actually don't think it's really that many, but whatever. I think that in a weird way that kind of trained us as viewers in the future, so that I was very prepared when they said, 18 months later, and we see it's Indiana Jones' Last Crusade. I was like, oh, it's 1989 now. And I was like, I settled in, and I was like, oh, now we're going to get to just see what everyone's up to. Like, I wasn't like anxious. I wasn't like, okay, wrap it up, time to go. I was like, oh, okay, I'm ready for this. So I do think I credit something like Return of the King, movies like that, that like, it's like, it's not just the end. It's like, let's just, you know, let's give the final curtain call to all these characters that we've been with for 7 years or eight years or whatever, you know.
And thus the town of Hawkins survived the satanic panic.
Period.
Yes.
The end. Yeah. That's it. You want to know what happened to
the I'm very curious
that's
to see what
another time. Bye. I've been Mr. Clark. Thanks for watching.
I'm very curious to see like how, you know, it's been. It's, you know, I know people in their 30s who were such huge Harry Potter fans with the movies or the books. And that was like, that's their favorite thing, you know, and they all do not want to see the HBO television show. I'll be curious to see 10 years from now. Well, I guess technically, like, you know, Brandon, like your kids, like, they're the age for this and everything. Right. So what will it be like for them when they're in college, out of college, and they look back on Stranger Things, you know, like I'll be curious to see, you know, and of course, when we get the legacy Stranger Things series or whatever that turns out to be.
As long as the Duffers don't become huge TERFs in the process, I'm sure that'll help.
Do we know what they're doing next? We don't, right?
They're Universal to make movies.
Yeah, they're not. They left. They're out of Netflix. That's for sure.
Yep. Okay.
Jeez. That's what I said. I agree, by the way, as far as finale goes. I think it's a very solid finale. I very much enjoyed watching it. I don't tend to like watch shows again very often, so it's not like, oh man, I can't wait to watch the finale of Stranger Things again. But like it satisfied me in the way that I'd want a show like this to satisfy me. Do I have nitpicks and stuff? Like, sure, but that's like, it's TV. I don't take it as seriously as a new film, and so it just kind of comes with the territory. It's like, yeah, okay, it does stuff that's like kind of fun or weird or whatever. But as far as the emotionality is concerned, what it's doing with these characters, giving me satisfying ways to leave them off and have me think of like, okay, that's makes sense for where everybody's going. Yeah, I'm down with everything this like thing did. I think it really landed it in a way that made a lot of sense. And I do think, as much as I've commented on some of the actors, I think they all gave it their all in this finale.
I think so.
There's not a even Will. There's not a weak link as far as the actors go. I think everyone's doing their job. They made me believe in the characters and that I've been following all these years or whatnot.
Did you wish 11 had more to do? I know some people felt this season 11 doesn't really. I mean, she gets the big ending. She gets a lot of stuff, but I mean that she doesn't narratively, I guess,
It kind of speaks to a series problem as far as they don't really ever define her as a character beyond the fact that she's special. Like she's not much of a person. Like that's a series issue and not a season issue, I would say.
Well, it looks like she's going to become one. That's what they leave us with.
Yeah, she'll become Enola Holmes.
Yes, go back. But
no, I mean it's not like should she have more to do? Like I don't know what else she'd do. Like her whole deal is I have powers, I can beat this thing. That's it. Like what else? What is she gonna do? Her nails? Like what? I don't know what else she's gonna do. Like what? Like her relationship with Mike is also just like we're together. Why? Because we're the main characters on the call sheet. Like there's nothing really to their relationship beyond. Like yeah, I was the nicest to you.
I guess you're right. Yeah, I guess.
It's a serious problem.
Yeah.
She's doing all she can. And her relationship with Hopper, I think, has always been very effective.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's like, I don't know what an increased presence of her would bring to this season beyond just like, okay, she's snapping more necks or something. I don't like
what else. Right.
And she did, she pocket sanded Vecna, then threw him onto impaled him and stuff. Like she got a lot done.
Well, that and also once the helicopter goes down, she like snaps the neck of like all those army guys.
She kills all those guys. Yeah. She makes herself with the brain. And I'm like,
She's a vicious
murderer.
She's pretty hardcore.
The first time we ever see her, she's. The very first time we ever see in love is in season one. She kills somebody.
Well, like every recap of the show is look at this thing that Eleven did, which was murder something or disintegrate into 1,000 pieces. Or shoot down a helicopter. Like it's like she's out of control. we have to stop this girl. That's what I'm saying.
Wait, what was the moment in the finale when I said to you, "Oh my god, it was Chewie in that thing"? Where basically there's something.
It's when Murray
is it a helicopter? It's something it's where a, she is doing when, that thing.
No, it's when Murray destroyed the helicopter.
Okay,
and you're like oh my god, Chewie was in there.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, Chewie's in there. Like, but yeah, I mean, what I've always loved about Stranger Things is like Star Wars. I which is my generation. I like that it is obviously coupled. What?
And only your generation.
And only my yes, you guys can't like it. I like that it is. I like that Stranger Things is very much cobbled from these things that the Duffer Brothers really loved in their own like youth and stuff. And sometimes that works, sometimes that doesn't. And I think it works really well, like from the get go with the show. Because I started rewatching the first season, I was like, "No, this is pretty strong." Like again, I'm not saying all the episodes are. I haven't rewatched the whole show either. I'm not saying they're all perfect or anything. In fact, when we were watching the finale together, there were plenty of moments where Aaron and I. Literally said the line of dialogue before like Joyce or Hopper said it. Or I can't remember what it, but you know, I don't know, something like, you know, well, that was unexpected or something like that. And I was like, oh, he's going to say that. And well, then he
suck my fat one was the big one where I was like, I said it right. Oh,
that was, but
said
I was
it.
Happy he said that. That
that's
I was
fun to say, but it's like yeah. obvious. Like, it's like, of course, he's going to say that.
Yeah, I would have liked more delightful Derek because that character, he really grew on me. I really, yeah, I would have liked more.
The Holly spinoff.
Yes, the Holly spinoff, exactly. I thought
I can't wait for 10 years from now when Derek comes back and the actor's like shredded.
Yeah.
So wait, so Brandon, you're
he's gonna be like Neville. He's gonna be like Neville Longbottom, just like super tall,
right?
Blonde hair, fucking six pack.
So Brandon, your kids have like they're really like cinema literate and everything. What do they think of Stranger Things? What
oh,
do
they love think? It. I don't know. That's their biggest thing, man.
They're writing complaints that, yeah. online all the time about it.
Yeah, you know, they loved it. They were mad that people online didn't like it.
Wait, how old are they?
13 and
42.
11. Yes.
13 and 11. Is it 11?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so they liked it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the next show that would be like this? Is there one currently?
I don't know. But everybody's excited for the finale like that.
What's
I mean,
the
like,
next
I
show
no
that we
idea.
Could bulldoze over with a stupid podcast? Grey's Anatomy.
That's a good question.
It's not House of the Dragon, I can tell
Severance?
You that much.
Severance?
Yeah, I mean, if Severance keeps its quality up, like, the finale of that will be a big deal. But it's really just not
but
a big
also,
deal for, like...
Nobody watches Apple TV, so there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also, not like the...
Also,
yeah.
if you think we were bad at this show, we'd be terrible at doing a Severance.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
Like, what happened?
Trying
to
keep track of this bullshit. Like,
yes.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, currently, right?
Mandalorian and Grogu.
Well, we'll just reconvene for this podcast.
Now, yeah.
We'll just do that for the podcast. We'll get.
Well,
this
that'll be for the movie. Name. Right. That'll make
right.
sense.
I'm marking right. that now, though. Brandon, Peter, Abe, and I, Mandalorian, and Grogu. We got that. Covered.
Actually, I have not. I need to catch up. How was the last season of Mando? It's good. I heard mixed.
It's fine.
It's a very watchable. Like. The outrage that comes to Star Wars is like, I get it, but at the same time, it's like, Mandalorian's fine. Like, it's not like the show dropped off and is somehow terrible now. It's like, all right, it's like lesser than, like, it's not new anymore, so that's different, but it's still like, it's still Mandalorian.
Not enough cameos.
Although people really hated the one episode with
Jack Black and Lizzo,
and I'm like, why? They're fun.
Oh, I never saw that episode. I know that one people complained about, but I haven't seen it.
Anyway, all right, we should wrap this up. We've done it. We've talked about all the Stranger Things season 5, and we'll never
Experts.
Talk about Stranger Things again. That's how it goes. Never again. Yes. Brandon Peters, where can people find more of you online?
Social media at Brandon4KUHD. Podcast is the Brandon Peters Show. We found anywhere podcasts are found. TheBrandonPetersShow.com and my YouTube channel, where you can see all my wonderful 4K and Blu-ray reviews. And my top 10s for both physical media and films are now playing.
Great. Peter Paris, anything else to plug?
On my socials, I'm Pajamo, and I am really wanting to get more. There's nothing holding me back except myself. Get back to writing at We Live Entertainment for the new year.
Hope to see it.
Yep.
I am writing for Lee Entertainment on a pretty constant basis. You can find both my top 10 films of the year and my top 25 movie moments of 2025 on there now. I co-host the podcast Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla as well. If you like this show, you can enjoy other things that are not related to that show. I didn't push this one. What else? Everything I do can be found on my personal stuff, thehodeseat.substack.com, and I'm on Twitter and all that stuff at Aaron's PS4. This podcast, we've had everyone can find podcasts. You know how to find the show. We're on all the socials and all that stuff. Follow us, do all those things. I hope everyone's enjoyed our episodes recapping Stranger Things season 5. If you'd like to see more of this kind of a thing, not opposed to it, we just don't know what the fuck to talk about. So leave comments. Let us know. Let us know if there's if there is some TV show that you want us to like talk about the last season of, because we will certainly consider it. But yeah, that's gonna do it. Brandon, Peter, thank you both for joining me. This has been fun.
This has been very fun. Mm-hmm.
A quick random thing we decided to do, and we pulled it off. There we are.
Good times.
I think we did.
All right.
Happy New Year again.
Happy New Year. And that's going to do it for now. So until next time, so long, and goodbye.